It's true. I am not succeeding. The success I'm going to succeed in life because I talked to Bishop Oyedepo. Most of the times I talked to him, he wasn't there. If you know what I'm saying? Before that, in fact, the reason why I met him that day was because I spoke so much. The MD of the hospital I was working was a deacon in Winners. He went and told Bishop, "Sir, there's one young man I want to come and meet you." When I was sit up at night, everybody is sleeping, I'm listening to word. One day when I fell acutely ill, and I cured the plague in 24 hours by listening to Supernatural Living Tape 2, Bishop David Oyedepo, the man wasn't there. It was when I spoke, I'll be talking. This man was a deacon in Winners, did not know one-tenth of the word from the mouth of Bishop that I did. And I never went to the church, maybe apart from maybe once at that time. And the guy says, "Sir," I said, "this man, wait. It's not by going and saying I touched." You understand what I'm saying? The woman who just little touch. It was because she had heard something beforehand, which had ignited the law of faith in her heart. And that touching for her was a step literally of faith. Therefore, it was done to her according to what she has said. As if it is what? A law. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize. That you see, what Satan tries to do is to put doubt. Doubt is not absence of faith. It's faith in another thing. There is no human being that can live without believing. It's not possible. That is in life. People say that I don't believe in God. They are lying. I told you God is a title. It is who you give that title to that matters. You believe in a God. After all, when you fall sick, you go and see a doctor. You have given, God said, "One of my jobs, I'm Jehovah that he led thee." You understand my point? The man, because there are things about you that's beyond you. If you are critically ill, somebody has to nurse you. So as a matter of human existence, you must have faith. That is why I told you the other time, my son came to me and said, "Daddy, auntie said I'm 50 years old." And it worried him. And why did auntie say she's 50 years old? He's 50 years old. Because I can do those things that make you wonder whether this boy is really 4 years old. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he did something like that. And so she said, "This boy, you're not 4 years old. In fact, you are 50 years old." So the boy came up and said, "Daddy," and he said, "I'm 50 years old." You know why? Because he has to believe one or two things. Yesterday, I knew I was 4. Now somebody's presenting new facts that I am 50. He doesn't have the ability to just dispose of one, but we forget. That's human beings for you. You must believe something. So the guy was confused. If I told him that day, "Yes, actually you are 50 years old. We made a mistake yesterday saying you were 4. You know, he goes away with a new attitude. He will go to school and say, "I'm 50. So I told him, "Don't mind auntie. Auntie is just joking. You are 4 years old." Then he smiled and left because that was in keeping with what he believed. Now what I'm trying to say, that's how human beings are. You must believe something. A man once, and I like to give him as an example because it was a real oath of a human being. Bank manager. He'll be laughing at Christians. "This is your pastor. His mouth is so smooth. Look at his suit. Fine jacket. He has been collecting you people's money." And he's joking about it. In my mind, I'm irritated. Do you know why? I know where his own God is. Was in one affair in one Longo in Oshobo where he used to go. I knew the man. I knew him. I knew how much money he was spending on that man with his goatee. I knew. I knew how he depended on that man to help him drive away his wife. I knew. And here is this idiot laughing at my pastor. It used to disgust me. Say, "Look at you laughing. Look at the person laughing. At least my father pastor wears an Armani. His hair is texturized. A fine boy, no pimples. Bring your own, the assistant of your God, let us see." The guy had a goatee. He wore a robe and spoke no word of English. Yet you pay your own tithes and offerings to him. And I am aware of it. So why? What gave you the audacity to laugh at this man of God? What I mean is everybody believes in something. They all do. So doubt is not that I don't believe anything. Doubt is which one have I chosen to believe. So for the Christian, what is doubt? Doubt is that, Well, I think people like Banky and Cole, they have not seen. No, they have not seen. If they know the kind of troubles I have, they won't be telling me that God is not in America. They won't say it. That is, I have believed what CNN said. I have believed the stories. You know, countries you have never been to. I like one thing my brother-in-law said once. He lives in the U.S. He won the America Visa Lottery years ago. Sat with my wife and said, once I finish my school, this period will have passed. I will have gotten my because then after some time, they give you an American, what they call a passport. All right? He said, I'm coming back home. He said, I have looked, and all the people I know here, none of them, apart from one, is to look up to as an example of success in this land. He said, I'm going home. So this one I've started. Let me just finish it. He explained to my wife. I told my wife, why didn't you tell him the truth? That it's not too late. Just cut out and get back now. He explained the reason why, and I understood. He said, once I finish, he's going to school. Then once I finish, I'm coming back home. So all this one that, he said, this is nothing but suffering. A lot of people have faith in a place they have never been to. It's true. Servant of servants. Cursed be Ham. Cursed be Canaan. Cursed be Cush. A servant of servants. You have faith that even if all I did was sweep gutter, I'm okay. That is what doubt is. So faith, God says this is now what faith is. Faith is that though there are giants in the land, it may take us some time to kill the giants, but the land is good. And if our God is on our side, their defenses have departed away from them. Now, we just keep on believing God. Once we don't die, we'll succeed. Are you getting my point? I've said it to you before. Once you don't die, you will succeed. So just concentrate on not dying. Are you getting my point? Listen, once you don't die, let me tell you one of the reasons why people don't do well in life. You see, you know what Satan does? It, because of trials and troubles you've had, remove your ability to imagine great things. So you have no goal. He said, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen, all the things I do, like personally now, it's obvious I have one goal in mind. My wife can tell you that. I'm just trying to preach. No, I'm preaching hard enough as it is. If I want to cut down the preaching. It's not that just that I'm preaching. I thank God for that. But I want to reach more people with what we are preaching. That's why our emphasis is always, okay, like I have to preach for radio, I have to preach for this. Yeah, thank God we want to get cameras. After that, we'll go on TV. That is, the day I will know that we have really begun is when people from Australia will also flip on their... In fact, I have an idea for the you know, like our way of success from on Cosmo FM now. What I would like to call my international TV program is Gospel from Africa. I'm already dreaming about that. In fact, if you know how I dream, or is America, I dream of how I will pose on the stage like this. I'm dreaming of how I will relax. How I will make sure that my English always has a small African accent. It must never become American. It must never be British. They must not be confused as to where this guy is coming from. We must retrain some Swahili, some Hausa, some Yoruba inside it. Then we'll be cheapening words in our native language. I'll talk and talk. I said, nah, what I'm saying is true. That they let anybody from anywhere. No, I'm preaching from Enugu. The title is Gospel from Africa. That hear me, descendants of Cush. And here also, descendants of Japheth. What's the other guy? And Shem, eh? Uh-huh. Here also descendants of Shem and descendants of Japheth. There is no more a wall of partitioning. He has made all into one body. There are now only three groups of people that God understands on the earth. He said, give no offense either to Jews or Gentiles or to the church of God. You're either a Jew, a Gentile, or the church of God. He said, his kingdom, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. He said, his kingdom rules over all. You know, I'm already imagining it. The people go short past this one small. So that I can drop my small laptop down a little lower and lean like this and explain like this. and talk casually with my pocket, my hand in my pocket. And God, may I never get fairer than this. Since I black like this, may I not look like Lusemeka at all. They may confuse where I'm coming from. I want them to know that a descendant of Cush, by natural descent, but by spiritual descent, a descendant of Christ Jesus has arisen. And listen, there are times when I want to do program, I will tell guys to sit on the platform behind. And I will be talking and I say, Gabe, like I was saying, you know, last time you guys sold about $27 billion of, was it oil? Yeah. And you guys explained this. I'm okay, yeah, say yes, sir. I said, good. You know, then I'll turn around again, point to somebody that this is our controllers. You behind me. I know they will do, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I said, you see? Let a descendant of Shem open his mouth, we'll close it. You are getting what I'm trying to say here. And periodically, I'll say, guys, oh yeah, come. Let's come and film. The whole world has to see what God is doing from Africa. The title of the program, Gospel from Africa. You are getting my point. Look, that's why I'm preaching the way I do. That is why, because it will happen. It will happen. It's a law of faith. It's a law of faith. It must happen. And God said, for you to be able to believe that, you have to step into a place. It's called the disciples of Christ. They came to him and said, how come you're always talking in parables? He said, to them, it comes only in parables. He said, but to you has been given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. So what we are discussing is the mystery of the kingdom, by which if anybody approaches unto God, he must get results in life. Listen, I told you, this is the faith that frustrates all kinds of diseases that are trying to kill people, that frustrates bullets that try to hunt young men down, that no man will die in an accident because of he. Listen, Jesus said, he said, I am the resurrection of the life and the life. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet he shall live again. The matter made the same mistake that we all of us make. He said, yes, in the day of resurrection, God, amen, praise God. And Jesus said, shut up, that's not what I mean. I said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now. I told my wife once, did I tell her this? Or I preached with it. I said, if ever you hear, they say your husband died, it won't happen. I said, walk up there and say, he can't die. Because he believed in him, therefore he shall rise again. It doesn't mean last days. It means he has children to take care of now. Get up, my friend, are you crazy? Come and get up. Why? Because he believed in him. That was what Jesus was saying. Listen. You don't get the point. Abraham couldn't die until Isaac was born. No matter how much he tried to die, he couldn't die until Isaac was born. People who have places they are going to, you can't kill them. Oh my God, you can't. Jesus said that, how can it be heard that a prophet perished outside Jerusalem? Let them try. He said, cannot be heard. It won't happen. Are you getting the point I'm making? It's a law of faith. It's a law of faith. All Satan is trying to do is to look at people and try to persuade them that it's not like that. Because there is a law. It's a law of faith. If you can believe that that's the way it is, it will most certainly come to pass. It's a law. Are you getting my point? Let me start my message. That is by concluding it. The thing I wanted to say. Let's just start it. And then we'll close and we'll go. You know, I've not read any scripture. You know, if you notice. Did I say you opened somewhere before? Okay, let me start with this one. Oh, Father, I give you thanks. Mark chapter 11. I went to preach somewhere a few days ago. And what I was thinking about, I was going to preach to them, was when the Spirit of God led me into this particular place. And as soon as I read it, I knew how to get back down here and teach something on faith again. Now, in Mark chapter 11, Jesus was speaking here. You know the story. He went towards a tree. In verse 14, because he did not see anything on the tree, he said to the tree while he was leaving, he said, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And disciples happened to have heard it. They didn't think much about it until they were coming back in verse 19. He said, when evening came, they would go out of the city. And as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Then being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus saying to them, he answered, have faith in God. You understand that what was happening was that Peter was surprised. He said that thing virtually in passing. Because how will you take it that a man who has so much work to do is cursing a tree? Waiting being wala with tree. So just said it in passing. This tree, no go better for you. And they continue to go. You know the way Nigerian will say it. If you're in Nigeria, go look at the tree, say, oh, waka. And you continue going. And the disciples heard it. And then also when they came back and saw that the tree dried properly, somebody came at you with a cutlass, it dried from the bottom to the top. All right? When they saw that, they were surprised. That's what Peter said. Ah, was it just because of this thing this man said? Just now, just a few days ago or some hours ago. Therefore, Jesus said, this is how it happens. Have faith in God. He began to give them a lesson again because Jesus used to teach like that. When something will happen, he will take it as a focus of ministration again and begin to explain the principles of the kingdom. Remember what we said earlier? If you read from Matthew chapter 13 especially, after Jesus taught them about the sower went forth to sow, some went here, some did this, some did that, another, they now came and said, sir, how come you talk in parables? You know these things don't make sense. Jesus said, can't you see they're all happy, they've gone. It doesn't make sense, but they've all gone. They are very happy. He said, because they are outside. All right? He said, but to you has been given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. What am I trying to say? So what Jesus used to do was to teach the mysteries of the kingdom to his disciples at every opportunity. So he would tell them, they would come and say, why couldn't we cast him out? Cast it out. He says, it's because of your unbelief. Are you getting my point? They will say, master, look, see how beautiful that temple is. When they rebuilt it, he said, let me explain the principle of the kingdom to you. You see such beautiful edifices that are erected up to God, all right, as a house of worship. He said, this is what will happen. Eventually, no stone will be left on top of another. You know, he'll begin every time they came up with things. He said, oh, don't let your heart be discouraged. You will see this happen. He kept on teaching them the secrets of the kingdom. You are getting the point. So this is another opportunity. Something came up. Then he came up again with another principle of the kingdom. He said, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. He said, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Now I want to explain something to you. Let me stop there. And I will close with that. I'll continue from there next time. This is what was Jesus saying here. That there is a divine principle. There is a law. If you read Romans chapter 3 verse 27, I think, Paul was talking about the principle of justification. He said, how does it happen? He said, is it by the works of the law? All right. He said, is it by the law of works? He said, no. But by the law of what? Faith. And we said that means faith is what? A law. And that's what Jesus was developing here. And this is what he explained to the disciples. I want you to notice something here in verse 24. Please, I want to reread this scripture so that you will understand. This is the way we have all read it. Then I will explain what I believe is the concept that Jesus was trying to pass across. Though it's not written so easily in black and white. Although I think it's actually written in black and white. Do you understand what I mean? He said, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted you. This is how we read it. We take that belief as if it's an instruction, a commandment. That believe you have received it and you will have it. Believe you have received it, you will have it. Let me just charge you with this. From my understanding of the principle of faith and reading through the scriptures, it is impossible to instruct somebody at that point to believe. Do you get what I'm saying? Let me say this again. Our very popular example in Pentecostal circles, the widow of Zarephath. The woman was sitting down, and one strange fellow, you don't understand this point, a strange fellow. You know what I mean by strange fellow? One guy you have never seen, just showed up without any introduction. He didn't say, hello, hello, madam, are you Mrs. Zarephath? Hello? No, nothing like that. I said, I'm Reverend Dr. Elijah, the man who's responsible for all your troubles. He didn't say anything like that. He said, madam, I think I'm hungry. Please, no, get me water, please. I would like a glass of water to drink. I'm very thirsty. It looked like he's thirsty. So the woman was going to get the water. And the fellow, don't forget, he's not a preacher. You don't know him. You don't know this jack from anywhere. And then the guy showed up and said, hey, please, why are you bringing the water? Bring something with which I will drink it. And the woman said, well, we don't have anything in the house and all of that. And the man said, don't worry. That little you have, give me first. For thus says the Lord. Let me ask you a simple question. Do you think any rational person should take his word serious? Because if you say yes, then all of us should fall prey to 419. No, let's face it. There was no reason to believe that guy. He could have been a con. Are you getting me? Are there no preachers who go around now conning people like that? According to the Bible, plundering widows' houses? The question is that why on earth should that woman have accepted? Let me tell you simply, no rational person should have accepted the word of this nigger from somewhere. Nobody knew him. Yet, by faith, in the story, Jesus now made a statement. He said, how come that there were many widows in Israel? All of them were neglected. Only the one that was in Zarephath was Elijah sent to go and sustain that woman, her child. Let me tell you what I'm trying to say. It was not that point that they commanded her to have faith. There was something in her heart before then that made her able to believe him at that moment. If she was a natural person, she should have done the right thing, disbelieve that fellow. Why didn't he bring the food first? Why is he saying that after he has eaten this one, the rest will not finish? Is that not typical 419? Advanced fee fraud. Is that not what it is? What is 419? It's not advanced fee fraud. We chop the first portion, they will promise you more is coming. After, there's nothing like doubt in life. Doubt is faith in the wrong thing. Because the same faith that makes a man lose all his life's investment is the same faith that makes this woman get more than she ever hoped for. I told you the other time I read a book. They said, why smart executives fail? After I read the analysis, I said, virtually the same reasons why some succeeded. Are you getting what the point I'm trying to make here? Why on earth did this woman decide to believe? That's the question I'm asking. Because, you see, no, this is what I want to emphasize. When Jesus said believe, I don't think he was instructing people to believe everything they hear. And this is what I want to say. If you did not have the capacity to believe, Jesus was not commanding you to believe. This is how I read the scripture now. It's a recent development. Alright? And I believe that it answers a lot of questions that I couldn't answer those days. When men try to explain to me how to believe in your heart, listen, this is the way it works. Listen to this. This is where I want to read it, verse 24. He said, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, this is just a simple alteration. If you can believe that you have received them, they will be granted you. I'm bringing out the point here. It is not believe. It is if you can believe. It's a condition, not a commandment. Oh, I don't know whether this is making sense to you. See, that what he was trying to say to them is that a man that wants to succeed, the woman that wants God to do things in her life, had better start exercising himself in believing God. And that's what I want to talk about, the law of faith. You say, what about Abraham? This is my good example. The Bible said, I don't have time to read. We'll refer to it next time because I've taken more time now because I started late. The Bible said it clearly concerning Abraham that a point came in which he was fully persuaded. Are you getting what I'm saying? He became what? Fully persuaded. So what Jesus was saying is that whatever you ask, if you are persuaded that you will receive them, you shall have them. That's why a lot of people, when they want to pray, they say, okay, let us believe. You want to try and believe. The person is not persuaded. Believing is a matter of persuasion. Let me just dispel the widow of Zarephath. Let me quickly tell you what happened to her. It was not her first time of giving food to strangers. Let me tell you, it was not the first time she gave her last meal to somebody. It was the first time she was being rewarded like this, but it was not her first time. oh, this thing is so important. Not loving your life unto death. I don't believe that the woman was absolutely certain that she was going to get anything. That was God's problem. If you know, you know what I mean by God's problem. So we want to solve. The woman's own is that this guy says he's hungry. Let's give him food. As a God will multiply it. Is this the first time somebody is eating my last meal? Take that one from you. It will make your faith work very easy. Most men who made it in life did not know they were going to make it like that. Listen, your faith must be in God, not in the thing you are doing. Then you will do the things you are doing because it is right to be done. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make here? Your faith is who? Is where? In God. For example, I tell you all the time that the good Lord said to me, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Which the method is going to use till today, I have not found out, and I'm not trying to find out. But I do everything I do because it is right to be done. I preach free of charge because it is right to be done. I write books and make them as affordable as possible because it's right to be done. If tomorrow God makes me write 5 books that everybody in the world buys and pays me $1 honorarium on it, which makes me worth about $7 billion instantly, fine. The principle is not write good books. It has not become write good books. If one man labors all his life and gathers $70 billion and listens to one of my messages and said, the good Lord said, as Bill Gates gave it to, no, as Warren Buffett gave it to Bill Gates Foundation, so I shall give to Pastor Banky personally. You know, there's foundation, there's personality. Look, the key to prosperity is not preach a good message and send to a billionaire. Are you following the point I'm making? If everybody says, let us make this man rich, let us gather money, it is not, the key to prosperity is not popularity. The key to prosperity is believe the Lord thy God. How God manifests it is something he just does out of what you would have done normally because it is right. Do you get the point I'm making? A lot of people started in one line of business, they entered another one and became famous by accident. So do whatever you are doing because it is right. And then your faith all the while is in God. So this is how faith is. This is the law of faith. If you can come to the point of full persuasion, that's what Jesus is saying. And that is what Satan is fighting every day. Because I said before, in life is a war of words and is a war of what? Faith. Satan is presenting his evidence to you every day. Why things won't go well. Why they won't go well. Listen, whichever one you are fully persuaded about is the one that will come to you. It is not the one you desire. Is the one you are fully persuaded about. Let me tell you, God is the source of all blessing. Let me end it with that. If God wants to bless the generations of the earth, he looks for somebody through whom he can do it. That's all. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why he said, Banky, get up. I know you're not feeling well today. I will give you the grace to preach. Go and preach. Declare to them again. Let me tell you the principle of preaching. I read Isaiah chapter 40. It says, say to Zion, behold your God. That is, let's go. No, we don't have time. We'll go back next time. That is when God wants to do something, somebody must go up shouting. Everybody look that way. Everybody look that way. Everybody look that way. This is where your God is coming from. Say to Zion, behold your God. Then when they turn their attention and focus on their God, then God begins to walk through them. Listen, what Solomon said is absolutely true. The race is not to the swift. It's not the man that started first that wins. That's what he was saying. The battle is not to the strong. It is not the man that's smartest that makes it most in life. He said, I have noticed that it is time and chance that happens to all men. You know, when I was reading this book, I've read a number of books. I've read Robert Kiyosaki's book, that Donald Trump's I'll tell you about, Mary Kay's book. I've read all kinds of books. I realized in all of them, every single one will tell you that this was a point in which something happened. And then our fortune was turned. Are you getting my point? T.D. Jakes will tell you it was because the day he became famous was that Paul Crouch, the principality of networks in the world, sat down in confusion one day and put on the TV. And for 7 minutes, T.D. Jakes taught on Show Them Your Wounds. After that, the man became a favorite on TBN. Do you get my point? They will tell you that certain things happen at key moments. You know for sure, Kanu and Okocha are not the best footballers in Nigeria. Listen, some of their mates who played better than them will still sit down today and be telling you stories. Those days, Okocha couldn't score. Okocha couldn't score. I mean, they pass ball for him. Where you there now, boss? Bros, nothing for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Nothing. No, that is a fact. In fact, he will tell you that the day they called Okocha to come and play, it was because he traveled. They will tell you that that day, let's face it, I was the guy who was supposed to play, but then that day, I traveled, I didn't come on time. So Okocha went to play and they signed him for this club. From there, Westerhoff came and saw him and arranged an international. If I had come that day, only if, Solomon says, call time and chance that happened to all men. He brings some down. Why is lifting some others up? Everyone I have read, they have said that, you know. In fact, then I found that this particular period, real estate suddenly turned upwards and then I was made. He would say that, oh, yes, I know I was prepared for it. But what I was saying in effect is that if it did not turn, I would be dead. You know, there's so much that a man can last. Are you getting my point? I mean, you know what the investor would say that, look, man, I'm bleeding. That the guy would say that I'm bleeding. That is every day, maybe we have borrowed $150 million. Interest payment, you know, we were discussing here last week, that Dangote pays interest on money ₦1 billion a year. Did you hear that? Interest that is paying on borrowed money. ₦1 billion every year. Listen, go and read those international guys. The guys who, one of the men who encouraged Richard Branson in his airline business. The guy was, he was fighting British Airways. Fighting them. Then one day, his bankers called him and closed on him. That is, his bankers ruined him. Time and chance happens to all men. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? Listen, it's a law of faith. There is something behind that. So, but Paul said, it is God that shows mercy. What am I trying to say? I'm not telling you be smart, you will make it in life. I'm telling you believe, and chance will make you make it. Let me say that again. I said, I'm not saying be smart, be connected. I am saying what? Believe. And then you will see events. Mistakes will begin to happen. Accidents will happen. At the end of the day, you will see that it is not you. Some things gather together to push you up to a particular level. They will now say, ah, that guy, he wasn't the smartest, but time and chance happened to him. But you know what happened? In reality, life was responding to the law of his faith. Do you understand that? We'll continue developing that from next time. I've taken your time. Once again, I apologize for coming.